God bless you this morning. It is so good to have you in the house of God. What a joy to come together and worship the Lord and give Him praise, to honor Him in song, hallelujah, to honor Him in our giving, and to also honor Him in receiving the word of the Lord to us. Amen, hallelujah. We are traveling through the biography of Joseph found in the book of Genesis. And today we're going to focus on the third sermon in this sermon series entitled A Biography You Won't Forget. This morning we're going to be talking about remembered and promoted. Hallelujah. Don't you just love when you are remembered? Don't you just love promotion? Hallelujah. We all love when we are remembered and when there comes that beautiful time of promotion. Just as a recap this morning, as we've been going through the chronicle of Joseph's life, we have come to find out that he has been a favorite son. He's been a hated brother, a slave, and now we have seen him as a prisoner. Joseph certainly was no stranger to the joy of being loved and being admired by his father, but neither was he an alien to the idea of pain and heartache and misery. After all, he's sitting in a prison cell based on false accusations. And I would venture to say that today, pain has been felt by every person that is here or that is going to be listening to the sound of my voice. And when pain handled properly, it will shape a life for greatness. Now, let me repeat that to you one more time. When we handle pain, the pain that comes to our lives, when we handle it properly, it can shape our lives for greatness. So this morning I ask you, what pain have you been going through? Are you currently enduring a very trying time? What can you do with that to propel you forward? Today, I pray that you will be encouraged and inspired through this narrative of Joseph. I pray that this part of his biography this morning will give you what it is that you need to continue to that place where God wants you to be. History is replete with stories of struggles and the scars which formed the foundation for achievement. Many of you could say, as of right now, I am where I am today, not simply because of all the good that has happened to me, but I am where I am today. I am who I am today because of the adversity that my life has encountered. Amen. I hear you. Glory to God. Do you remember the Apostle Peter in his first letter? He tells us in the 4th chapter and the 12th verse, quickly get your Bibles if you have them and open them up to that. He says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you." Praise the Lord for this little tiny verse that Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, wrote for us. Folks, affliction, mistreatment, persecutions, hardship, and pain, they're not absent from Christian living. They are a part of our lives as we travel down the road. However, God is willing to rescue us. Oh, glory to God. He is willing to rescue us from our plight and bring us into new circumstances. Are you ready to get into some new circumstances? Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm ready for some new circumstances. Glory to God, you really are. Hallelujah. For 13 years, Joseph had been a slave in Egypt. 13 years. For some of you, that's been longer than you've been married. And for some of you, that's been longer than the time that you've been wanting to get married. 13 years. That's no drop in the bucket. And for 2 full years, The Bible tells us that he was a prisoner. And yet, God is faithful. Hallelujah. Up to this point of his life story, four times we have been told, but God was with Joseph. 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 You see, that's what makes the difference, my dear friend, is that when we are going through the good and when we're going through the bad, that someone will declare of us, but God was with them. Oh, glory to his name, that when we are traveling down the valley of the shadow of death and fearing no evil, it is because God is with us. Glory to his name. No wonder that he is called Emmanuel, God with us. I want you to know today, God is with you. You are not alone on this journey. You are not in the dungeon cell all by yourself. You're not walking through the valley all alone. God is with you. Shout amen to his name. God is with you today. Linda, God is with you today. Hallelujah. Tony, God is with you today. Armita, God is with you today. Jaime, God is with you today. Minerva, God is with you today. Oh, hallelujah. Whoo, glory to God. Joseph may have been stuck in prison, but God's plans for him were in full motion. Ha, glory to God. God's plans for you are in motion. You're not just marking time, dear friend. No, Romans 8:28, you all know that most familiar scripture. And we know that God causes everything. Hallelujah. I love that universal word. He causes everything to work out together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes. Glory be to his name. Everything that you are going through, good, bad, or indifferent, God can use it for the honor and the glory of his name through your life. Hallelujah. Oh, I praise God that he lives and he dwells inside of you and me. He is the hope of glory. So no matter what you are going through today, just remember this, God is with you. Through Joseph's biography, be encouraged to trust God, even in these difficult times. Now let's jump into the narrative. Open your Bibles and let's get to Genesis chapter 40. We're going to start with verse 23 and we're going to work our way down through the narrative. Genesis chapter 40, verse 23 and on. You have to realize, Joseph's been in prison 2 full years. And in a sense, he has been forgotten while he's been kept locked away working in this prison. He has simply been in there waiting. The Bible narrative doesn't try to spruce up or make exciting this waiting period. When there is nothing happening that we can see, we must just wait. After all, Joseph had been waiting for the cupbearer to remember him. Remember, Joseph had interpreted a dream correctly for this cupbearer. And the cupbearer said, yes, I'm going to remember you. But 2 years have passed and no cupbearer has remembered Joseph. This cupbearer worked for Pharaoh. he would have the ability to speak Joseph's name to Pharaoh. But for some reason, whatever that reason might be, he never mentions Joseph to Pharaoh. And sometimes you might feel like you are in the same boat as Joseph was, or excuse me, in the same dungeon as Joseph was. You do good, you remain faithful, you keep the good attitude, and you are waiting and waiting and waiting on God, and you're waiting for a good report, but it just does not happen. It appeared to Joseph that nothing was happening. And that's what it's like when you wait. It appears that nothing is happening. It appears that maybe your prayers are only reaching the ceiling, only to fall back down upon your shoulders. In the waiting season, it seems that every step that you want to take forward simply causes you to have to reverse 2 and 3 steps towards the back. Dear friend, I want you to know that waiting is part of God's plan for our lives. Do you remember a portion of Psalms 30? Weeping may last through the night. There are seasons where we weep. There are seasons of waiting. There are seasons of disappointment. There are seasons where we find ourselves wondering if God is truly going to answer us. There are seasons where you might find yourself wondering, is God really good? Does God really love me? Is his word really true? My dear friends, stay faithful to God. He is good. He is awesome. He will see you through. Remember, he was with Joseph. Another scripture that bears notice this morning was taken from the life of Job when he said in chapter 23, verse 10, he said, "But he knows the way that I take." Listen, folks, you're not out of God's sight. He's not abandoned you. You're not sitting somewhere out in limbo, out of his reach, out of his control. The Bible says that if he holds the universe in his hands, then, oh, dear friend, you are held securely in the hand of God. It might have seemed that nothing was happening, but in reality, God was prepping Joseph for his advancement. You can't get to God's blessings without first going through the preparation. You can't experience, you aren't ready for the new wine if you're still an old wineskin. There's some preparation that God wants to do with you and with my life. God is prepping you and me as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, as we're sitting on the potter's wheel and we're feeling like pressure is coming like we've never felt before. We're feeling the mighty weight of burdens upon our lives. Maybe we're feeling the distress of all that is going around us. Oh, dear friend, God is working out so that you will be able and ready and be prepared to receive the blessing that he has for you, a blessing that will overtake you. Shout hallelujah. Our pain is not to crush us. On the contrary, it serves to establish you and me. We are being refined. Isaiah said that he is the refiner, and he refines us with fire, and we come out on the other side as pure gold. Listen, there are no cheap imitations in God's household. There are no gold-plated bronze rings in God's house. Let me tell you, the children of God, we are the genuine thing. We are the real thing, baby. We are not not a cheap imitation. We are not just a carbon copy of something else that is good. Glory to God. We are made in the very image of God, our maker. Would you say amen? Glory to God. And so this morning, stay in your battle. Stay in your dungeon cell. Stay walking through your valley until God himself decides to open the door, until God himself lifts you and puts you on the mountaintop, because your valley is serving a great purpose. It is prepping you for the victory that is to come. Whoo, glory to God. Come on, yeah, somebody just praise him in the house. Oh, glory to your name, God. Joseph is being shaped for a significant future, people, even though he couldn't see it. You might not see it this morning, but God is shaping you for a significant purpose. Chuck Swindoll put it this way in the wonderful book that he wrote entitled Joseph, which I, to his credit, have been using a lot of his insights as we're going through this wonderful sermon series. He put it like this: for the present time, nothing. For the future, everything. It might seem right now, my friend, there is nothing going on for you. Oh, but for the future, everything is happening. We are getting ready to spend some time in the scripture where Joseph is going to be able to declare, this is not a normal day. Starting with chapter 41, God is getting ready to remember Joseph. Oh, I love when God remembers. Hallelujah. And you know, we never know when God is going to move on our behalf. You and I never know when we're going to enter into a quote-unquote not so normal of a day. All I can say to you, all I can admonish you this morning, is don't miss the opportunity of God starting your not so normal of a day. Don't miss the opportunity and wimp out and give up and stop the race just before the break of a new day, when you're able to say, this was not a normal day. This is the day that God stepped into my circumstances. He remembered me, and hallelujah, he has lifted me and he has placed my feet upon a solid rock. Glory to God. He has become my shield. He has become my buckler. In him I will trust. Woo, glory to his name. Don't miss your opportunity. More than 700 mornings and evenings had come and gone since the day Joseph had interpreted the dream for the cupbearer. 700 sunrises. 700 sunsets. And in between, I can hear Joseph. I'm going to praise his name. Sunrise. I'm going to praise his name. Sunset. I'm going to praise his name. Sunrise. I'm going to praise his name. Come on, when the sun is going to rise, we need to praise his name. And when the sun is going down, we need to bless that same name. Amen. We got to give the Lord praise no matter what. And I believe that was one of Joseph's greatest characteristics that he had. He had an absolute awesome integrity about him. He had an absolutely awesome attitude about him, that he, not once do you read in the scriptures where he was down and out and all destroyed and pouting and feeling sorry for himself and feeling worn out and tired. No, you don't see Joseph in that light at all. Hallelujah. Even though the days were normal. For Joseph, it was just another dungeon day. Except for one little matter that Joseph knew nothing about. Could today have started a normal day? For the exception that you know nothing about what God might be doing behind the curtain. Pharaoh had a dream. What? That is Joseph's not so normal of a day? Some guy who was sleeping on a nice, soft, comfortable bed, who was fed excellent food, he has a dream? And that's how God starts Joseph's not so normal of a day? Come on! I expected for the prison walls to shake. Maybe there to be the Jericho experience at that prison. What about a Paul and Silas excitement? A climactic moment where there was prayer that was being sent up into the heavens and the prison walls shook and the bars rattled, and all of a sudden, because God was near, remember God was with Joseph, and then maybe, just maybe, the cell doors would fly open and Joseph would come out victorious and glorious in form and nature. That would be a not so normal day in my book. I see you kind of agree with me. A dream? Come on. Maybe today you're sitting there and you're expecting God to pull down heaven and earth for you. But what if God wants to start your miracle with something simple through someone else? Are you holding back your own victory? Because you have your own idea? Because you have your own plan? Pharaoh had a dream. He saw seven sleek fat cows coming up from the Nile River. Then seven more gaunt and ugly cows coming up from the same river, and those skinny cows eat up the fat cows. This must have been a horrendous vision to Pharaoh, because the Bible says that he awoke from that dream. And then he falls asleep again, and the Bible tells us that Pharaoh then continued this dream sequence. This time he saw a stalk of grain with seven plump ears of grain, healthy and beautiful, just to be followed up by seven lean stalks, scorched by the wind, and those seven lean stalks devoured those beautiful, healthy stalks of grain. And the Bible tells us again, Pharaoh woke from his dream. Let's look at the text this morning. Genesis 41:8. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. If you don't, the scripture will be up for you on the screen. But I encourage you, get a Bible. Hallelujah. So you can continue to put God's word in your heart. Genesis 41:8. The next morning, Pharaoh was very disturbed by the dreams. So he called for all the magicians and the wise men of Egypt. When Pharaoh told them his dreams, not one of them could tell him what they meant. There's going to be some times when God does something, reveals something, and those closest around aren't even going to have a clue. But thank God that it dawned on the cupbearer about Joseph, who had interpreted his dream. Without hesitation, the scripture says that Pharaoh sent for Joseph. Are you starting to sense a climactic moment on the horizon for Joseph? I really do believe this is going to be a not so normal of a day. A dreamer? Joseph himself, a dreamer? interpreting then, years later, the dreams of Pharaoh's cupbearer? Come on now. I'm starting to see a thread of God through this narrative, and it might be ever so gentle, but at the same time, that thread is consistent and strong. And can I tell you this morning that the same God that was working in the life of Joseph is the same God that is weaving a mighty masterpiece through your life. And if you and I will allow him and stay faithful and remain where God has us, then we shall see to the glory of God. Whoo, glory to your name. Now remember though, Joseph knows nothing about what is happening. Remember, to him it was just another dungeon day. He got up, did what he needed to do. Oh, but were things gonna change for him? Could God be up to something you know nothing about for you? Oh, could the hand of God be working for you? Ooh, let's look at verse 14 of the same chapter. Pharaoh sent for Joseph at once, and he was quickly brought from the prison. Now notice this verse. After he shaved and changed his clothes, he went in and stood before Pharaoh. Underline that in your Bible or write that down. He shaved and changed his clothes. The prison had left him tattered and torn. It had left him looking a bit rough. He didn't look in his best, I'm sure. But Joseph prepared himself to meet his destiny. Folks, life can leave us looking, you know what they say, tore up from the floor up, busted and disgusted. But let me tell you today, you don't have to stay looking that way. You can decide to shave. You can decide to change your clothes. You can decide to prepare yourself to meet your destiny. Drop the garb of the past and put on a new robe. God is waiting to do something for you. You can't have new blessing in an old wineskin. God wants to give you something that is beyond what you can handle right now in your present tense. God wants to do for you, hallelujah, what your pain has been producing to make you ready for a greater blessing from him. Change. He changed his appearance. I'm not telling us that we got to go out and get facelifts and tummy tucks and buy a whole new wardrobe. But I'm also not saying that we shouldn't do those things. I think that we need to prepare ourselves for our destiny. I think that we, as a representative of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I think we have a duty to represent God to the best of our ability. Joseph did. Maybe you don't look busted and disgusted. Maybe your clothes are okay this morning. Maybe you're driving a new vehicle and on the outside you look great. But what about your attitude? What about stinking thinking? What about your language? Is it time that you drop those garbs of the past? I believe it is. And may God help us to put on the robe of righteousness. Hallelujah. Let's continue. Genesis 41, 27 through 46. The Bible goes on to tell us that because God was with Joseph, he was able to interpret the dream. He told Joseph, the first Egypt will have 7 years of plenty. Pharaoh, there is going to be so much. Egypt is going to be so blessed those 7 years. But then, 7 years afterward, or excuse me, 7 years will follow a famine and drought. The scripture goes on and suggests and tells us that Joseph suggested to Pharaoh to select a wise individual who could oversee the next 14 years of Egypt's plight. I don't think this was a shameless plug on behalf of Joseph. I believe Joseph was in there because he was a man of integrity. He was a man of honesty. And God, through all the adversity that this man had been through, he knew that Joseph was at a place in his life where he would not lift up his collar, where he would never give himself the credit. He told Pharaoh clearly as it could be said, "Listen, I don't have the power to interpret your dreams, but God does." There comes a point when God uses our sorrows, when God uses our pain, and when we've been crushed, and when we've been remolded, that we truly come out on the other side saying, "God, may there be less of me and more of you." Let me come to a close by letting the text of Genesis fill your soul to an overflow this morning. Verse 37 of chapter 41. Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, "Can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or wise as you are. Notice verse 40, "You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on my throne, will have a rank higher than yours." Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and placed it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in fine linen clothing and hung a gold chain around his neck. Then he had Joseph ride in the chariot reserved for his second in command. And wherever Joseph went, the command was shouted, "Kneel down." So Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of all Egypt. And Pharaoh said to him, "I am Pharaoh, but no one will lift a hand or a foot in the entire land of Egypt without your approval." Hallelujah. Was he remembered? Was he promoted? Glory to God. Would you stand at your feet with me? Everyone has spent time waiting. And most everyone has known the joy of the morning light. No matter where you find yourself today, take these two lessons to your heart. During the waiting period, trust God. And secondly, during the time of reward, thank God without any pride. Remember those two scriptures at the beginning that I only gave you a portion of? Here are the remainder of those thoughts. Psalms 30, verse 5. "Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning." Job 23, 10. "But he knows the way that I take, and when he has tested me, I will come forth as gold." Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Oh, we praise the name of the Lord. If you're here and you're ready to say, "God, I don't want to run from what I'm going through. God, I want to let you know that I am willing that you prepare me." I want to invite you. Would you come to these altars? Come on. They're starting to open up. Oh, come on to these altars in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.